Steps to the CRM process. The CRM process can be split into these steps. Develop a customer database. Sort the customers into profitability tiers. Determine service levels. Identify and implement processes and improvements. Measure performance and solicit customer feedback. Continuously improve the CRM process. Each of these steps is discussed below. Step 1. Develop a customer database. A foundational element of CRM is a customer database. This database should include each customer's contact information, background, profile, requirements, profitability level, service types, and service tiers once these are known. The customer's background, profile, and requirements are used in the following steps to help determine the best strategy and tactics for that customer. The customer database needs to be regularly updated with information on all interactions with that customer, including their product or service requests, desired lead times, completed transactions, and after-sales service information, for example, repair and maintenance records. Step 2. Sort customers into profitability tiers. This step in the CRM process is to sort customers into tiers of profitability, also called segmenting customers by value. When three tiers are used, the most profitable tier will have the highest lifetime value, the middle tier will still have positive lifetime value, and the lowest tier will have little lifetime value. Devise ways to move these customers to a higher tier. Depending upon the accounting practices in an organization, one of three methods is commonly used to determine customer profitability. Single allocation criteria. Determine the costs of direct materials, labor, and overhead during a particular time period for each customer. Single allocation criteria will use just one method for allocating overhead for all types of customers. Activity-based costing. Identify the specific costs of servicing each customer's orders based on how much, what, and when that customer orders. Activity-based costing allocates overhead based on how much of a particular activity each customer consumes, for example. Two activities could be clerical order processing and delinquent collections. Using more activities allows one to differentiate between customers at a finer level of detail, but activity-based costing has higher costs to implement and manage. Total supply chain management cost. Identify the costs of the different business activities within each stage of the supply chain, as well as the overhead costs associated with each customer. Total supply chain management cost is an aggregate study of supply chain costs and can show which customer activities, both costs, and the associated value of the activities, contribute most to the organization's costs. Organizations and partners can then determine whether to continue providing a service as well as where to focus improvement initiatives. However, some customers may not use certain parts of a supply chain, for example, direct ordering, and this should be taken into account. Each method may include or exclude various costs, particularly as they relate to allocating overhead. Activity-based costing example. Operating profit contribution. A customer's operating profit contribution, EBIT as a percent of revenue, might be estimated using invoicing as an activity cost driver. Use of invoicing as a cost driver would be appropriate for a determination of lifetime value when sales are made on an open account, primarily B2B. The formula for operating profit contribution using this cost driver is as follows. Note that the time period for gross profit and for the invoices should be the same, such as 12 months of gross profits and 12 months of invoices. Assume that an organization's average cost per invoice sent is $20 for the clerical work of preparing and sending invoices, as well as monitoring payments and following up. If a customer makes many small orders, the total number of invoices sent to the customer will be higher than for a customer who orders the same overall quantity, but in larger amounts less frequently. If customer A places 100 orders in a year and customer B places 50, but both order the same total quantity, gross profit will be the same. Let's say this gross profit is $10,000. The calculation for customer A is then $10,000 minus 100 times $20 equals $8,000. The calculation for customer B is $10,000 minus 50 times $20 equals $9,000. This is very similar to the ordering cost calculations for inventory and warehouse management. Another common cost driver chosen is customer order size, including how the order is picked, packed, and shipped. Customers who use pallet pick and pallet ship will be the most profitable, while orders in tiers, full tier of a pallet, with full pallet ship is the next most profitable. Case pick and pallet ship is the next, followed by case pick and floor loading. Each picking, individual units, is the least efficient. Subsets include pallet shipping, floor loading, and each shipping. After the operating profit contribution has been calculated for each customer, all customers are then ranked from high to low and grouped into tiers by profitability. Step 3. Determine service levels. In this step, the organization determines what each profitability tier prioritizes in terms of the product/service package and/or service level. Since there is more than one way to segment customers, each tier might be further subdivided. For each profitability tier and/or further subdivision, the organization has to determine the service level or levels it will offer, that is, how to bundle value-added services for each customer segment. There are several options. Custom and tiered. Different product/service packages can be provided to different segments within a given tier, and service levels can be superior for higher profitability tiers. Lower tiers can get more homogeneous products/services and lower service levels, or the lower tiers could pay higher prices for more differentiation or higher service levels. Advantages of this method include the ability to meet unique customer segment needs and provide the best service levels to higher profitability tiers. However, the method is more complex for the supplier to manage. Standard and tiered, the same product/service package can be offered to everyone while varying quality and service levels by profitability tier. This approach is easy to manage, but it assumes that all customer segments place the same importance on the various service elements. For example, it might assume that faster delivery is always higher in priority over lead time regularity, which might not be true for some customer segments. This is the most commonly used approach, standard and not tiered. The same product/service package and the same service level can be offered to all customers regardless of their profitability tier. This is the easiest to administer, but it creates the highest risk of losing the most profitable customers, so it is less popular. Determining the proper customer service levels involves the following substeps. Identify what each profitability tier and/or other type of customer segment values. Customer segmentation is covered elsewhere. Categorize service components. One way to categorize service components is by when the component occurs. Pre-transaction, transaction, post-transaction. Yet another way is on the basis of margin. The marginal cost or benefit of various service components can be quantified to maximize the value delivered for a given investment in customer service. Prioritize the elements of customer service by profitability tier and/or customer segment. Different profitability tiers and/or segments will have different priorities. A homogeneous service offering is likely to underserve in some areas while overserving in others. Learning customer priorities may involve interviewing key decision makers, conducting surveys, analyzing data on customer complaints or retail compliance violations, and so on. These data collection tools can also be used to determine what each tier/segment would consider minimum acceptable service, below which you would not win future orders. Establish service level metrics. Select specific key performance indicators and assign targets for them for each customer segment based on priorities relevant to your customers. Use these metrics to measure your as-is state and set goals using these metrics for your to-be-state so internal improvements can be measured using like-to-like comparisons. Score DS metrics work well for this. Benchmark against competitors to establish relative service level. Customer perceptions of service level are relative, and you must know what levels your competitors are offering. To the best of your ability, measure competitors using the metrics selected for your organization. Perform a gap analysis. Measure the gaps between each tier/segment's service requirements and the actual service levels of the organization relative to your key competitors. Design product/service packages that will meet or exceed minimum service requirements. Minimum service requirements qualify your product/service package as a viable option. You might exceed requirements for high priority or highly competitive areas. Analyze business case using service level metrics, targets, and estimates. Do a full financial analysis, for example, net present value, internal rate of return, benefit cost analysis, etc., to ensure that the desired service level is affordable. Validate assumptions and constraints. Monitor and control. Evaluate actual results against the plan and follow up on significant variances. It may also be possible to compare actual against estimated costs for the service level. It should be noted that spending excessive amounts in this area of logistics will have quickly diminishing returns, so it needs to be measured, analyzed, and readjusted frequently. Exhibit 3-4 shows that excessive safety stock and preparedness measures become highly unprofitable near the 100% service level. Exhibit 3-4. Economic constraints on level of service offered. When an organization is working with a B2B customer, often the parties draw up a service level agreement, SLA, which is a contract specifying the service levels that will be provided in each area along with relevant metrics and targets that will be used to measure compliance. Step 4. Identify and implement processes and improvements. The best processes to deliver on the customer's expectations are identified and implemented. This could require transforming some processes that are critical to customer satisfaction, or it could involve a series of continuous improvements. For instance, if customers are promised a lead time of 3 days, but the average order does not arrive until 4 days after it is placed, logistics will probably need to reevaluate its process. Step 5. Measure performance and solicit customer feedback. Performance should be measured using metrics significant to the customer to determine which customer segments are satisfied and whether profitability has improved. Remember that one key goal is to know which customers provide the most profit from orders because they minimize your costs. Soliciting customer feedback involves following up with customers after each service interaction or transaction to gather their feedback for relationship maintenance and continuous improvement purposes. Step 6. Continuously improve the CRM process. The final step is to continuously improve your organization's use of CRM using lessons learned to ensure that the process is timely and cost-effective and is regularly updated to reflect changing customer priorities and preferences.